Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Little Heartland music there. Cougar Mellencamp bringing us back. Some good Hoosier music there. I was a Hoosier once upon a time, a long time ago. Welcome back, 23 After. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Hope you check out my website when you get a chance, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And we'll follow you home with some of that. If you like what you see something you want more of, just tell us about that. You've got all the contraptions right there to help you follow you home with whatever you like. And don't forget, one of the things we'll follow you home with is our newsletter. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. So many things in that newsletter. We're real proud of that. We've been, that was 1999. We've never missed an edition, a weekly edition, not one time since 1999. And, of course, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook if you want to find us. My Facebook fan page is Small Business Advocate, and on Twitter it's at Jim Blasingame. John Harrison is our guest, the Reverend John Harrison. He's a certified planner, author of Making Mammon Serve You. John, how do we find you online?
We can find me at aspirefa.com or at my blog, plannerspulpit.com.
All right, so check that out. The book is available wherever books are sold. John, you're helping us with some financial planning advice, and one of the things that... somebody told me about, you know, you've heard of the attention span deficit. The somebody said the other day that the new thing is bright shiny object. You know, and every time we turn around, there's a new bright shiny object, something sparkly that we get to look at. That we get that way with our financial investments sometimes.
We really do, and I call the term headline risk, which isn't really the technical definition of it. Technical definition of headline risk. Something bad happens in the news and the markets react negatively, but I sort of stress the term to mean that people start making individual decisions based on the things they've heard. I mean, you recall there was that terrible earthquake and tsunami in Japan,
right.
And before anybody really had time to analyze what the impact of those would be, the markets all over the world just crashed. I mean, the reaction was enormous, and in some cases really overblown. And I find that people tend to do that. They'll make And as soon as a new headline about what's up or what's down or what's coming comes out, they want to make adjustments in response to the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to tell people, your goals haven't changed. Your financial reality hasn't changed. The date you're going to retire hasn't changed. The principles that underline your planning haven't changed. You don't necessarily want to make a new strategy every time a new news headline comes out, because that's going to happen every day.
How much do you, you know, one of the things that's one of the complaints about stocks, and another type, those investments like that, is that we don't have any control. That if there's a bad manager, if there's a crash or some kind of a financial meltdown like we had in 2008, you know, we put all our eggs in those baskets. Even though we are diversified, as you said in the previous, even if we've done the best job in the world at diversifying, if it all turns to mush, you know, so does our financial picture. And I wonder how much you think real estate should be part of our portfolio, because
I think
real estate is a lot more stable, at least well placed real estate. Obviously, we've had a real estate crash, and you know that hasn't been good. But income producing real estate is hard to beat, isn't it?
As a segment of people's portfolio, I agree. It is a segment that needs to be not too large a segment, because it's not nearly as liquid as other pieces of a portfolio.
Unless it's income producing and has no debt.
Right, but in terms of, I'm thinking in terms of the average investor who's, you know, got a small sum of money, for him to incorporate real estate
right.
into his
You're
portfolio,
right.
he's going to do that through intermediary vehicles, real
right.
estate funds, ETFs, or
right.
real estate
investment trust, right,
rather than buying an individual piece of real estate. I hesitate to see people get too much of their money tied up in any single asset class. But you're right, real estate typically has been an asset class that has been worth owning, and a diversified portfolio should certainly consider making that a part of it.
Well, I'm going to go off script here a little bit, on at least off your script a little bit, but you can see, I'll see what you think about it. One of the things I recommend to small business owners is if you own a business in a piece of property in a commercial space, and you like where you are and your customers like where you are and you think you can be there, try to own that real estate, if at all possible, as quickly as you can. And that's a great, in my opinion, that's a great way to save for retirement, John, because I don't know how many times I've seen people wear out their businesses over their career. The business that was great when they founded it 20, 30, 40 years later was actually, you know, actually a dying industry, a dying business by the time they got ready to retire. But the real estate they bought back in, you know, 30 or 40 years ago is now worth millions of dollars.
Oh, I agree with that. And there's, you know, there's tax advantages along the way to doing
all
that.
All kinds of tax advantages.
I have many a client who either has done or who I've advised to do just that. I'm thinking, I guess, in terms of not so much seeing that as part of their portfolio,
right,
but certainly part of their financial security. If they're in a mm-hmm. position to do that, absolutely.
Right. No, I that's a good point. I'm glad you feel that way, because I really think that's important. And not that that should be your only retirement vehicle, because you know, as you say, that's not very diversified either. But I just think, and you know, the good thing about that real estate is you make payments on it, and it's like saving. It's the same thing as saving for a retirement plan, like we talked about in the previous segment. Hey, John, give us a website one more time, please.
It's aspirefa.com, and we can also continue the conversation on my blog at plannerspulpit.com.
All right, so check it out. Thanks for being here, John. Come back again real soon.
I'll look forward to it.
We'll see you next time. John Harrison, folks. The book is called Making Mammon Serve You. Quick break. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.